The following program is a podcast1.com production.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads.
How the fuck you gonna know how to be great if you don't study greatness? Look at the game tape.
Donuts.
If you wanna battle with either that you will or you won't.
You know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Hey, man.
Anyway, gang, Joe DeRosa's here going, I'm not Italian, I'm Egyptian. The surfboard's not running right.
DeRosa, my man, I'm happy to see you, and this is long overdue. You did the Kevin Pollak chat show when I guest hosted for Kevin, and we got down. We were talking about comedy like Stephen Hawking talks about space, but without the, you know.
Yes, quarks are smaller than atoms.
I had a great time on that. I'm happy to see you. Kevin Pollak and I now follow one another on Twitter, thanks to you.
Which
is exciting for me.
There's the millionaire matchmaker. I'm the 10,000-air matchmaker.
I'm happy to see you, buddy. And this is a beautiful
you and I are always
part of town we're in.
Playa Vista, man. It's like Playa Vista, Mar Vista, Marina del Rey, Playa del Rey.
Here, can I give you the Keitel quote? I was doing the whole drive down because this is so far from where I live. Ready?
Yeah.
The whole drive down, I kept going. I'm going, gentlemen, in your future, I see a cab ride. Move out of the sticks, boys. Remember that from Pulp Fiction when he says that?
No.
You don't remember that?
No.
When they goes, he goes, you guys need a ride. And he goes, yeah. And he goes,
was it a ride to the tow yard?
Or yeah, where they're from the tow yard. And he goes, where do you live?
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Julius Sweeney's goes, I live in Inglewood. And he goes, gentlemen, it's your future. I see a cab ride. Move out of the sticks, boys.
Move out of the, they live in the valley. He calls it the sticks. In the future, I see a cab ride. Leave it to Joe DeRosa to think Playa del Rey, 6 miles from LAX is the sticks. You live in the damn sticks. There's no. Where do you want me to live? Pennsylvania?
I live in Atwater Village.
Steve Atwater, the strong safety from the Broncos?
Sort of, yeah, sure.
Stephen Hawking cheated on his wife twice. He had two different.
It's amazing. Yeah. Nothing stops a man. And
not even being able to only move your blinks.
It's incredible. I remember.
I think there's another way to phrase that.
Ice-T spoke at my college when I was in college.
Okay.
And one of the things he said was.
Where'd you go? Fame?
Because I went to Kutztown University, and Ice-T was doing a college circuit, and he came and he spoke, and he goes, one of the things he said, he goes, ladies, you're just going to have to understand this, all men cheat, all men cheat. And I remember being like, that's bullshit. And even though I love Ice-T, I didn't believe, I was like, that's bullshit, I didn't agree with him. And then I heard the Stephen Hawking thing like 10 years later, I was like, Ice-T was right.
No, he's not right. I never cheated. 10 years of marriage, never.
Well, good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. What do you want, a cookie?
Hey, it's Louie. You didn't cheat, huh? What about the singer? Jamie Foxx? No? Hey, oh. Joe's nice.
He's so funny on that.
Baskets.
Baskets. It's
Ice-T
so funny.
Ice-T doing a college tour to speak at people's graduation. So you get like.
No. It wasn't graduation. It was just, just came and spoke, you know.
I see your valedictorian's a straight crab bitch.
He opened with this thing. How much can we curse? Because there are your kids in the other room.
It's better he hears it from you.
He opened up with this. He goes, look, if you're offended, he goes, I'm going to tell you to leave right now if you're offended by words like bitch, pussy, fuck, cocksucker, you know. And everybody started groaning. And he goes, no, because they're not curse words. You think they're curse words because your mom told you they're curse words. Well, what makes a curse word? It means it's in the Bible. Well, the only curse word that's in the Bible is damned, as may God be damned. That's the only real curse word. So you know who should go to hell, not me for saying that shit, is your bitch-ass mom for lying to you. That was the opening of the show. And then everybody cheered.
And now Richard Dawkins, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
he what ass is in the Bible.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, but not as a curse.
Why not? Oh, I see what you mean. Joe DeRosa, there's an Amazon banner. I realized Amazon banner is a very clunky way to say if you're going to use Amazon, don't put Amazon on your toolbar. Put jmoore.com on your toolbar. Go to my website and hit where it says Amazon. You get redirected. Doesn't cost you anything. And my man Meredith Daniel gets money for the black college of his choice.
Oh, that's nice.
Wouldn't it be cool? Like a defensive end named Meredith? Like Meredith Moore.
Yeah.
But basically on the website, jmoore.com, I'm really digging the poetry lately too. I've been putting a lot of poems up there, and like I was super embarrassed to do it because people are like, fag.
Right. Right.
But it's been really a good response.
You know what I'm going to do with your poetry? I'm going to read it. I'm going to support you in it, unlike you did with my music when you told me you thought it sucked. I'm going to read your poetry. I'm going to say, good job, buddy.
I thought you were good. It wasn't my type of music, and I singled you out as the bright spot in that band.
I'm the only one in the band.
You didn't let me finish. Would you like me to lie and say, like, no, I didn't say it sucked. Oh, sorry, I just wrote it.
You said it was bad. You're like, yeah, it's real bad. And then you're like, I don't know why I'm coming at you. I'm sorry.
Well, that's therein, that's the thing. Right. I think it was coming at you, period. It was one of those days, I suppose, but that's...
Just one of those days. Don't take it personal. Remember that
Shelley,
song?
Shelley, you ever have one of those days?
Please, I'll
What's
tell
that
you.
From? In-laws?
Yeah, yeah. You never... I love a... I thought maybe you want to go to lunch. It's 10:30 and it's 9:15.
The thing,
morning.
The greatest thing since the Lindbergh baby kidnapping, we're calling it the thing, it's in my basement.
Go back to your lunches. Do I bother you when you eat?
Alan Arger goes, you want to go to lunch? It's 9:30 in the morning. You never took an early lunch?
You never took Shell. You can talk a little bit, buddy. Just I will say this. Since I was a jerk about your music, I want you to tweet and just smash my poetry.
No. I would never,
like,
do it.
Wow.
It's not my style.
It's not my style to bash my friend's music.
I would smash. I would smash. Like, I go back and forth with Kindler smashing, but it's because I love him. You know what I mean?
But, like, the reality is, I don't like that I said that publicly about your music.
I don't even remember if you said it publicly. You might have said it just privately to me.
Well, you just made it public, because I don't have any memory of it being bad.
We were sitting at that table. It might have been on the show. I can't remember. I was on the show. But
so, on my website, there's always good clips. Like, somebody put my Al Pacino story when the seagull didn't like my acting. And just kept... Bah, bah, over. The Chive did that. And we just got an animator. My man James is going to start animating some stories from the podcast. We're excited about that. So,
very nice.
Poetry. Because... He's a fat. Yeah, why not? Because you can't put out a book. It's like, oh, look who thinks who he is here.
Yes, you can. This is why I don't hang around.
No, that's what I'm. It'll go there eventually.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
You gotta get the traction online.
Sorry, dude. I'm just getting hot.
Wait till I Periscope tonight reading one of these poems.
Yeah.
And then all you hear is, you know, the guys unzipping their flies all across the country. So if you buy something on Amazon, don't go to Amazon. Go to my website, jmoore.com. It doesn't cost you anything. Direct deposit to my son. It's like 3% of whatever they buy goes to him.
That's nice.
College. I hope he goes to, like, Grambling on
That's
a minority
nice.
Well,
scholarship. Listen, I buy a lot of Amazon, so I'll go through your website tonight.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Every time you and I get this patter, I feel like it's when De Niro and the guy in charge of the cab company. Oh, you're in Vietnam? No kidding. Whereabouts?
In Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Are
you going to break my chops? Because if you are, you can take it right under the arches. You work holidays? Well, you work in Harlem anytime, any place. Oh, no kidding. But let me get this out, my friend. Look at this. JJ, my name is Scott. What does that say? Scott
Hoffman.
Oh, jeez. It's typed. I think I do need glasses.
Yeah.
Or new eye teeth.
Yeah.
Scott Hoffman writes, JJ, hi, my name is Scott Hoffman. I live in Pennsylvania, and I love cheese. I love cheese so much, I like to try other types of cheeses. I went to Amazon, didn't know they sold things that were perishable or as perishable as cheese. Parentheses, I believe cheese is already milk being perished. End parentheses, and I bought wheels and wheels and wheels and wheels of cheese. Here's to you. Here's to the free content on more stories. Will you have Joe DeRosa on anytime soon? I grew up with him.
Do
you know Scott Hoffman?
I do. That's my friend, my oldest friend in the world.
That's
wild. You just played a switcheroo. I didn't think it was going to be the same Scott Hoffman.
I pulled it.
I just read the name. Now, you see, you're good. You're very good. You got me to read the last name. Like, I can't read that. And I was like, oh, that's weird. In my head, I was like, I'm not going to go on a tangent here about how I know a guy with that same name because he's trying to do a plug. and then you wrap it up with, this is actually your friend. You got me.
Your stand-up comedy special. Email me what you bought. More stories, 3737 at Gmail. Put Amazon in the subject matter. Subject line. The name of your special, which for some reason, I always... It's
you let me down.
Jesus. I did this on Pollock. I'm like, it's all your fault? What is it?
It's fine.
By the way, one of the best titles. I think we touched on this briefly.
You were very beautifully indulgent with me about this special and the title and the
themes. Well, you directed it yourself, and I don't think comics know that that's available to them. So how did you make that? You had to make that happen.
Well, I had directed other stuff prior. Nothing too major, but I had done enough stuff that they felt like...
Modern Romance is a great film, John.
They felt like I could... they felt like... I had to pitch pretty hard, but at the end of the day, I was able to say, look, I did this, this, and this. And
what are those things you directed?
I directed a short film called Cheat that Bobby Kelly and Bill Burr and I wrote.
You know what,
dude? And then I directed some commercials for Comedy Central. That was probably the linchpin that made them go, okay,
so
fine.
How do you get... Because I would never.
There were Bill Burr ads that I directed.
Oh, and he had, oh, you.
So he brought me in, but there was still a Comedy Central thing. So they gave me money to direct. So there was prior, whatever the fuck that's called.
You're in the family.
Yeah. So
I could not direct like a movie at all because like if an actor's toilet doesn't flush, it's like, can I talk to you for a second? What the fuck? I'm all the way in Albuquerque.
They wouldn't say that to you, the director.
Not me, the director, but I've said it to directors myself.
Why? It's not the director.
Because I'm sitting next to them. I'm like, hey, can you believe this? What the toilet is?
Oh. I thought you were saying they would be like, fix my toilet. I'm like,
they want to let you know. Here's the thing about a director, and James Franco pointed this out. Like, people give that guy shit. Uh-huh. And I'm going to circle back. By the way, iTunes, anywhere you can download specials, it'll be up on jmoore.com. You Let Me Down. And then we'll go through like best comedy album titles. And just album titles.
I love that.
And then I want to talk about you spilling your drink and freezing like a fucking abused kid. It was so sad. So, You Let Me Down. Download it all the way. Like, I could produce. Like, I do that well. But when you direct, like, a movie, everything. And Franco pointed this out. Like, he went back and, like, did soap operas.
Yeah.
And that was a great episode. More stories. Go back and find that one.
You had Franco on.
Couple times.
Wow.
And his brother.
I'm a fan of both of them.
He said, when I'm acting, you don't realize it because you're such a narcissist that, like, I'm as important as that guy's suit. Like, there's an entire department that 24/7 clothing and how does it mix with the other clothing?
Yeah.
And then there's lights and there's, is the air conditioning on? Because it's really hot and people are going to get uncomfortable. I need wood to push a dolly so it doesn't make any noise. I need baby powder for the wood. And then, actors, they'll say the words. That's the easiest part because they just know their words. And there's what's his fucking problem now?
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to change a word?
Yeah, that's great.
You know, nobody's like, you know, I don't think this three-button suit is what I would be doing, you know?
That's great.
And then I was, like, impressed by that. But I could direct a video or a commercial because that's a straight burn, right? Like 18 hours straight?
We did 4 in one day.
Yeah.
And the film took... It's a short film. It still took 3 days, which is pretty fast. But I don't know if I could direct a major feature length thing. I think I could direct a TV show. But a movie, I don't know if it would be too overwhelming. I don't know. I never really thought about it.
I think it's overwhelming because you have like studio guys standing over your shoulder going, we're really running out of time.
Yeah.
You're like, it's fucking 11 a.m. day one.
Yeah.
I don't tell you.
Yeah.
Rose McGowan didn't come out of her trailer.
It's...
I don't know why I said her.
Rose McGowan.
She makes. You know what? I don't even know why I said her. I was going to say Salma Hayek because I've experienced that.
All right.
But Rose McGowan's like the one actress where I'm like, she kind of makes me feel funny.
She's
funny good.
Like, yeah. She seems like a real sweet person. I don't know.
I'll let you know.
I don't know. Yeah. Are you going to work with her?
No. Just be a jerk. Like, I go, just spin
a
wheel.
Being a jerk.
She's being a real jerk.
It was just a funny reference. It just came out of left field.
Don't you think, like, you did this every time you're on the podcast? Like, when there's a reference to be had, like, I didn't know I was going to say Rose McGowan. I was thinking Salma Hayek. And it said Rose McGowan. I'm like, that is actually funnier. Do you do that on stage where you'll say something and you realize you're hearing it
at the same time the audience is hearing it for the first time.
Yeah.
Ad libs.
Yeah. And you go, I get that a lot with inflection on stage. I'll say a thing a certain way and it'll get a laugh one night. And I'm like, I never said it. Oh, wait. No, it's that's funny when you say it that way.
Yeah.
When you put like that different, like, you know, melody on it or whatever you want to call it. Like,
no, it's music. That's a perfect, that's a beautiful way to put it. The melody, and you bend the note. You got a wah-wah pedal for some.
Yeah.
Like Walken's all Hendrix wah. Like, of course, Joe DeRosa.
Yeah.
And then somewhere down the middle. And I just found in one bit, no inflection, just throwing it out. It was the best. And then they say, go on. And like for a week, I'm like, go on. Or like, go on. And it just, go on. And it's that's the best one. Zero inflection.
Yeah. It's just, it's well, it, you know, you've done so much acting way, 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 way more than I have.
Go on.
Way way more than most people have. You learn that in acting. Like, you sit at home with the thing and you'll go, oh, and then this part is the... Oh, it's all this emotion, and I'll do all this, whatever. And then you get on set, and they go, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, it made way more sense when it was just in the eyes and nowhere else. But I think that's,
you're right. Yes, and. Yes, and it's like something in us where we do that without knowing that we're doing it. And then any acting person, coach, which I've never, I'm going to start going to acting lessons now, actually. Really badly, I do. There's like a real acting coach person out there. Like, I don't want to like run around into mattresses and like, I'm a leaf stuck in a grate. Check me out. In front of a bunch of like college students that are like, I'll just do it to get chicks.
I started using a guy recently to prep for auditions. Magical.
Really?
Changed my life.
Doug Henning?
Yeah, his name's Doug Henning.
There's always room for beauty in the world of magic.
He's it's such basic stuff, but he's just like...
What's his name?
You know what? I should plug him.
Good old what's his name?
Let me plug him.
But it's easier to start kooky and come down than it is to start super monotone and then have to take that shit up.
Well, yeah.
If you start a scene like, well, do any of you have any idea what it's like? And the director goes, need a little more energy. And you go, all right, do any of you have any? They're like, no. And what they want is, do any of you have any idea what it's like? And you'll never get there if you start, because you feel so foolish and self-conscious.
Right.
And like, picture perfect, the speech I gave at the dance table when we stopped dancing and Jennifer Aniston looks at the other cast members and goes, see?
Right.
I did like Bill Murray, like, do any of you have any idea? Like, I thought that was the thing.
Right.
I really thought it.
Right.
And Glenn Gordon Caron, the director, thought I was just like, he goes, all right, that was funny, yeah, but let's just do it for real. I'm like, that's exactly how I had always planned to do it. And he goes, come on, and then you land on smaller.
Yeah.
And if I could do all my acting roles again, I would do them smaller. I wouldn't act. I would just talk.
Much smaller. And it was interesting because I just...
Who said you ever started acting? Yeah.
I just did a pilot for a sitcom, for a multicam sitcom, and that I was in. And that was going a little bit in the other direction of, it's got to be bigger but not crazy, and it's got to be energetic but not cartoonish. And, you know, it was a slightly different... You didn't have the luxury of a camera 2 feet from your face...
Yes.
That can pick up a little...
Sitcom advice you want to accept in the moment, and then next time you have diarrhea or vomit, just get rid of it.
How do you mean?
Could watch a sitcom. Everybody's yelling.
Right.
Nobody talks until the applause stops.
Right.
Like, when was the last time you walked into somebody's house, waited for the applause to stop, then went to the refrigerator, took something out, looked at it, then there was a laugh, so you looked up and looked around.
Right.
And you went, is this an avocado? Right. And then, like, who goes to everybody's refrigerator? Everyone goes, well, I'll tell you one thing, Jerry. Little Jerry Seinfeld's definitely going to be an undefeated fighting cock. Like, nobody yells like that. And in acting, it's real.
Yeah.
And you watch those old scenes like Pope of Greenwich Village when it's Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts like holding each other like, you took all of these? And he goes, yeah, at the hospital. They took my dumb. Like,
Mickey Rourke, that's what's crazy.
You'll never see that again.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's crazy. Because Eric Roberts is doing like a sitcom character in a movie. Because that's the beauty.
But it's a real guy that we know.
Sure. Well, that's what I always said why I admired, like, particularly the Seinfeld cast and the cast of Frasier. Those are the two I admire probably the most as far as multicam sitcoms go. They're, it's very theatrical, but it's very believable. Like, I believe Frasier Crane. I believe if I met Kelsey Grammer, he would be Frasier Crane. You know what I mean?
Well, he is, really, actually. No, yeah. He really is like that.
But it's still big for that forum, but it's believable. You know what I mean? Like, it's only bad in a multicam when it's not believable. And Eric Roberts is a guy that did that kind of acting on film and made it believable. Pacino's another one of those guys. You know, you watch Pacino in Heat, his choices are
terrible.
I love it. I think they're insane, but that's what I love about it.
Well, it's terrible that people think they're bad decisions. No, but this is weird because we're doing Seinfeld, Frasier, Eric Roberts,
right.
Who people don't realize was the best.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Star 80, where he's playing Bob Fosse, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Pope Greenwich Village, he is that cartoon, like, I'll tell you one thing, I can't go to jail, so I'm Titsun Spade gonna rhyme it up your ass, Jack. Like, he's just out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, that scene where he's going, they cut off my fucking finger. I stole.
Yeah. I didn't rape his daughter. I didn't spit in his fat fucking face. I took money from him. Remember, like, Jay Russo used to work at Boston Comedy Club?
No, I don't know Jay Russo. That was before my time.
He's a little Lugatz, a little Shimanood, but there's guys you know like that. And that movie, Pope of Greenwich Village, like, when I auditioned for Worm and Rounders, I'm like, I can't. This guy's just awful. Ed Norton.
Oh, you auditioned for that?
Yeah, but then it goes to Ed Norton. You're like, all right, great. Like, it's Ed Norton.
Right.
It's not like, what?
That's pretty fucking cool, though.
Like, Michael Rapaport? Are you guys out of your fucking minds?
Do you like Michael Rapaport? Are you a fan?
So when I auditioned for Rounders,
right,
Worm was so unlikable, I couldn't wrap my mind around why Matt Damon would ever hang out with this guy.
Right.
And then I pictured Pope of Greenwich Village. I go, oh, because he loves him.
Right.
They're in love.
Right.
And then there's other ones where you're like, why would he ever? They're in love. And when I did Hereafter with Clint and Matt Damon, my guy was just trying to get him back into like this shady business. And I didn't want to play that. I don't want to be Bob Sugar. And I'm like, he loves him. He really is. He really thinks this is the best thing for his brother.
Right.
And his brother's that So then I just made him like sad.
Right.
So Eric Roberts like set the table for that kind of guy. Hey, challenge.
He's truly amazing. I want to talk about other performances like that. Is that okay?
Yeah, as long as we talk about adoption.
I mean, you know.
Were you adopted?
Adoption schmoption. Yeah, yeah.
If I found out I was adopted, it would make so much sense.
I mean, you want to talk about two people playing a role.
Role play? You want to talk role play?
Faking parent, they're your parents. No,
because when you spilled your soda on the counter,
yeah.
You actually froze like a child. And then Teresa was here and you go, can I have a paper towel? And I go, no, she's with the guy. Like, she's going to take Meredith out so we can do this. Like,
yeah.
I'll get it. And you go, thank you for the paper towel. Like, it was Pesci. Starting to get blood on your floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, it's okay. And you go, no, I have a real bad problem spilling things. And I'm like, that's childhood.
Yeah, I freeze when I spill. And I wanted to explain it because I was like, that wasn't me asking your nanny to get, hey, could you fetch me some paper towel? That was me being like, you're the person standing in front of me. Can I have some paper towel? Because I freeze when I spill shit. I fucking clam up because I feel like if I walk away, it's going to start running all over the floor.
I
don't know why. I don't know why.
I do.
It's nuts.
Because when we were kids, you'd knock over your milk or something, and your dad would go, God damn it! And you're like, this wasn't on purpose.
Right.
Like, I didn't go watch this.
Yeah, and you don't
I'm going to knock over my water, and then I'm going to get spanked for it. Like, you would get spanked.
Because you don't have the ability as a kid to go, oh, dad had a shit day. You know, that's the best episode of The Wonder Years.
Or, hey, Dick, it was an accident.
Did you ever see that episode of The Wonder Years, though?
Mm-mm.
Where the dad, so you know The Wonder Years, the dad's always yelling at him and shit. And
not really.
I mean, but he's a hard-ass dad on the show. And he's always like, the kid doesn't understand, Fred Savage doesn't get it. And then there's an episode where he goes with his dad to work, and his dad gets fucking chewed out in front of him by his boss. And he's like, oh, that's why my dad comes home like that. Like the shit's rolling downhill. This guy chumps my dad out every day. It's a fucking great episode. It's a
powerful episode.
Yeah, it's great.
See, I have the opposite take on that, though, JoJo. It's like, if you get your ass chewed at work all day, I can't, like, it happens to me. All I want to do is see my son. because that's bass. Like when you play tag as a kid.
Sure.
Bass. You can't touch me. I'm with him. So like if I got shit on at work and I came home and I'm like, clean it up. Stop fucking. Who spilt this?
Right.
It's like.
Well, yeah, and I, well, look, I also think we're products of our times. We're from a different era, you know. Our dads are from different eras, you know.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
So you were adopted.
I was. I am.
You were and you am. What age did you know you were adopted?
I don't remember being told. They told me from the beginning.
So from cognitive thought.
I was. They got me. I was 9 days old. I don't remember them ever telling me.
Well, they told you 9 days old.
They must have. That's what I'm saying.
That's what's fascinating is your entire pre-cognitive thought history is implanted as fact. It could have been like the day of. It could have been a year. You wouldn't know.
It's the best decision my parents ever made. And my parents are great parents, and I love them to death. And they did a great job with me. And like all parents, they had their pitfalls and whatever, but that's the best thing. I don't know if that was their idea or if somebody gave them that advice from a book or something.
Oh, telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant adopting.
No, well, that too. I'm not, you know, so I'm not in a fucking, you know, Three Stooges orphanage right now or whatever, you know, but it's,
hey,
you know.
Who's the kid with the apostrophe in his name? Tell him I want my socks back.
So... But yeah, that was because I don't know how I would have handled it had I heard it later. I have no idea.
I don't think you can tell them later.
A lot of people do. Most people do.
And I
do.
Think we need to reverse. I mean, what the fuck do I know about it? But I know the human brain and the human condition. And I think we need to completely reverse. Like, when's the appropriate age to tell somebody they're adopted? Either you've been adopted from the moment you were born. You know that. You know, somebody's tree, somebody's little birdhouse in the tree wasn't okay. So we, you know, their little birdhouse in the tree, and here we are. It's great,
right?
Or just you just die with it.
Yeah, it's. I'm shocked at how many people don't find out till they're, you know, 20.
Doesn't feel good, I would guess.
Well,
you,
I didn't.
You never had the elevator shaft of like, wait, what? What?
Well, I had it a little bit because I didn't know I was. They thought I was Egyptian. I found out recently that I'm not. I'm actually Middle Eastern. But for all intents and purposes, I found out I wasn't Italian at the age of 12, which was a very hard
Philly,
thing.
That's
to,
tough.
Yeah, well, we were in the suburbs, but it was still a pretty close-minded suburb. Like, I remember there was talk in the neighborhood when a black family moved in. And not bad talk. Well, not race. Not people being like, can you believe this? But being like, a black family has moved. You know, the fact that they were even addressing it was the fact that was testament to that it had never happened where we lived. So yeah, it was a pretty one-sided, one-track mind.
Why did it fuck you up that you were not Italian? You were not Italian, you were Egyptian, or but Egyptian's Middle Eastern, right?
No, that's African.
You're right.
Yeah.
Damn it. So why did that mess you up, that your nationality? Like, being adopted, you never had that, like, this is all me knowing nothing about how it feels to be an adopted person, unless my parents haven't told me yet.
Sure.
And, you know, in your mid-70s, you might want to spill the beans. I don't want to read that shit in an envelope post-mortem, okay?
Right.
JJ, by the way, you were born a poor black child like Nave and from the jerk. But... like, your entire life, you knew you were adopted, but then there's... If you're listening to this, by the way, email me morestories, 3737@gmail.com, if you're adopted. When you found out, your immediate feelings, because I don't know if anybody feels good with that information.
Right.
Like, I'm adopted? Oh, thank God, because I'm not a midget, and this didn't make sense.
Well, for me, yeah. For me, it wasn't a pro or a con. It was just what it was. It's kind of like somebody be. For me, it was like being.
You always knew.
Well, that's what I mean. For me, it was like being colorblind. When you say
yeah.
to somebody, you go, what do you mean? You don't know what's that like? And they go, I don't fucking know. I don't know what the fucking orange looks like. And I've never known. You know, I didn't lose anything.
Vinny Testaverde.
Who's
quarterback? They thought he was colorblind because he played for the Buccaneers. He threw so many fucking interceptions. And orange is the weird color if you're colorblind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But if somebody found out they were adopted at like 6, 8, 12, 20, like a college, married, sure. It's like, you motherfuckers. Because the first instinct is, and I want to know when it was for you, well, how do I get a hold of my quote, and by the way, I'm putting this in big, my quote unquote real mom and dad.
Sure.
Because you were raised by your real mom and dad.
I never thought that. I never wondered where are they, or I mean, I had
really?
I had some natural curiosity.
But why was I given up for adoption?
Oh no, my parents had some semblance of a story that was given to them by the agency. You know,
but no matter what the story, you as a person, and you're a poet. There's a bluebird in that heart. That's like, wait, like I'm supposed to be this miracle.
It's not, and I don't say this in a condescending way. It's not really rocket science to me. Like, it's like these two people had a kid. They weren't ready to raise a kid. They gave it up for adoption. She could have went and got an abortion, and she didn't. So
you're another. That's really high thinking too. That's good stuff, because I think most people be like, "What was like you? You didn't think I was worthy of like?
Oh, no,
I was.
None of that
I
shit.
Was fucking smoking dope.
None of that shit. Now I do think that there are some ingrained. Abandonment issues that come along with it. Like, there's a sort of sense, there's a sort of buried sense of fear way back in your head that prevents you from maybe getting close to as many people as you could, or being in serious relationships because you're afraid of being hurt or being left or whatever. So I do think that that's there, but that also could just be because...
No, of course that. When was the last time you had a girlfriend?
I have almost never had a real girlfriend.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember.
It's working for. It's not like you walk around like, I can't believe nobody will date me.
No, I date all the time.
You can crush ass whenever you feel like it. You just don't want it to hang around.
Crush your ass.
It's, yes. Well, you remember that night? I'm like, you don't need lube for this one, Papa. It's like the Lincoln Tunnel.
But yeah.
It was after my flu.
I said say that like Colin, please. It was after my flu.
You remember, it was after my flu. 24-hour flu. I don't know who came up with that nomenclature. Who timed it? What if I have a 25-hour flu? I mean, you're in for the 10-day haul, you know. Oh, would you have the flu? Well, actually, I had a 2-hour and 20-minute flu. Now I gotta get that Z-Pack in me. So, you are powerless.
That might be the best Colin I've ever heard you do.
What's up, Adam?
Riff, I mean.
Hey, Adam buddy. Ray's coming up right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
A third string Wolverine.
With that big dick.
Yeah. Talk about crushing ass.
Yeah, look at this guy. He's in the fucking movies.
The guy needs a pussy helmet. leave it to Jay to book two podcasts on a Saturday, and they overlap. You know? Joe DeRosa's late, so Jay goes, hey, I'm glad you're a half hour late. Let's go cross town and get a pizza. Adam Ray's in the driveway. Jay acts like he didn't see him. All right. Maybe you brought that other guy with the little bicycle. That might be the best way I've ever explained anything in my life.
Oh, my God. It's great. The so
abandonment issues, fear. Yeah, that makes total sense.
I say to my mom all the time, because my mom always go, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have a kid? You know, like all that stuff.
Jewish?
No, Italian. And but she is – my mom's French Russian. But no, she will say that. She'll go, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have a kid? And she goes, my mom will say this. This is a heartbreaking thing, but she will say, I just worry about you because when daddy and I are gone, I don't want you to be alone.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and I go, mom, trust me, I might be physically alone, but I'm not lonely. I'm like, I'm doing fine. You know, it's Pesci, and I want to be with you.
I could settle down with a nice girl every night, ma. But what she's saying, you know, the first lesson of the teacher is to speak the language of the student. I don't know if you're really speaking the language of this teacher, because it's not about loneliness. She has a soulmate that she's in it to win it with.
Yeah, and as far as I could tell, they takes every ounce of their fiber to not murder each other on a daily basis. Hey, so
man,
you
crime,
know,
crime pays, man. Freedom of speech. Just watch what you say. Ice-T.
Yeah.
Call back. So, but then they have a song.
You're the greatest lyric in that song. You can. He says to Tipper Gore, "You can suck my dick while I take a shit all day."
Yeah, I love that one. And then out of nowhere, 6 in the morning, that was some real shit. I'm like, what was it, 6 in the morning?
His song. It's his classic song, 6 in the morning.
No, but then the line is on another album prior.
Oh, no, that's an original gangster. 6 in the morning,
that was
some real shit.
That was
he was saying like that was the first gangster rap. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, what were we just talking about?
Loneliness.
Yeah.
Your mom's
not saying, like, I'm afraid you're lonely. She means literally... You will be the DeRosa. You'll go, hey, hon, and there's no hun.
Yeah.
Or you go like JJ. There's no JJ or whatever you name, you know.
Yeah.
And that's because your mom sees the absolute only reason we're here-ness of having a child. Like it's that you in a
sure.
in like a onesie with like anchors and stuff on it.
Yeah.
And like all the first and the things and
sure.
then you becoming successful. And she wants that for you. But if you don't want kids, you don't want kids.
But here's the thing. I'm not against... The idea of marriage is very beautiful to me. The idea of
I'm talking about kids.
Well, a relationship. I'm not closed off to any of it. I particularly don't want kids because I don't think I'm selfless enough. It's funny. I was on a date last night and we were talking about this. And
you're
said,
full of shit. I'll tell you why. But go ahead.
And I said this on the date. I said, I see... Because I try to bring this up on the first date, because if a girl reacts poorly to it, it's like, well, we might as well not even go on a second date. Because if you really are gung-ho about it, forget it. but I said to her last night, I said, with the way you talk about your niece, I see like a joy in your eyes that I wish I had. I go, you know, my cousin's kids, they call me uncle. They're for all intents and purposes, my nephews and nieces. I go, I love them dearly. I'd do anything for them. I was like, but I don't get the kick out of the kid. Like a kid the way you clearly do.
No uncle does, because there's somebody else's. You give them back.
But I know people like, I can't wait. My sister's going to have a baby. I can't wait. My
gay brother, guys.
You know what I mean?
Gay guys. I'm going to be a gunkle.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm pigeonholing gay guys. Hopefully. But. No, of course. You said, I don't feel the.
Excitement.
How could you?
I guess you're right.
You can't conceptualize color. If you only see him black and white.
Right.
Like, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
If you were blind your whole life, and I'm going, you know, like a lilac. It's, you know, the flower. Like, what the fuck is a flower?
Right.
I sat behind Stevie Wonder on an airplane once, and I'm like, wow, I would fucking gaslight all this guy's money. Welcome to Australia, Stevie. I'd just be in Pittsburgh. Just everybody goes, good day, mate. How's everybody feeling? Sydney, Australia. I was like, fucking... Air travel to a blind person?
Right.
But you can't explain to him, like, the runway. He's been blind his whole life.
Right.
So, of course, you don't have that passion for kids. Nobody does until you have the kid. And then it's terror right. of there is no way I should be able to put this, like, an egg out of your refrigerator is, like, the fucking Brillstein building in New York as far as, bah, like, strong compared to this itty-bitty,
right.
fragile, breakable thing in a car seat, and you want me to go up fucking La Cienega and take him over the hill? What right. are you guys, nuts?
Yeah, yeah.
I've only had a license 28 years. And it, but that's it. They're like, no, you're actually fine.
Right.
So, and then the wonder and the joy and the love, and like, you saw my guy. It's like, I am a believer. It's the it's why we're here. It's just because... It's that circle, that circle. So I'm not going to go like eternal life and go into all that, but it's that circle. It's indescribable. Indescribable?
Indescribable.
But you said something, and I'm like, you're full of shit. You don't know if you're selfless.
Enough.
What's the difference between that and the guy that goes, well, when I make about $80,000 a year, then I can have a kid. We don't have the right size yard for kids yet. Neither one of us are ready.
The difference is the idea of putting something that much in front of me entices me zero. My dog I love very much. That's enough for me. I'm like,
you can't send your kid to like a kennel for the weekend.
No, you can't. And I say all the time with kids, I'm like, I wish you could have a baby and then it would leave and come back when it was 18. It's like these baby years are great. It's exactly what it is.
That's what happened with Jesus.
That's
what Jesus was gone his entire teen years.
That's what
he's a baby in a manger. He walks around. He's a little genius kid. The rabbis go, hold on. The kid from Nazareth is onto something. Money is ruining everything. Where the fuck did Jesus go? Oh, hello, 30-year-old Jesus. I see you have a cross on your back.
I'm going to play this for my mom. So you already did Quinn. Can you please do Harvey Keitel as Jesus? Or as Judas. As Judas.
Rosemary, I need you to listen to me very carefully. You like silver and gold, don't you? You're beautiful girls. I'll even give you the gold. I'll keep the silver. When you see me with my ruby lips, kiss the Prince of Peace on his cheek. You went for the damn hills. And if you see a man named Pontius Pilate, he's a good kid. That rat fuck's gonna try to let him go. Let Barabbas walk. What is the other thief's name? They never even mention it in the damn Bible. He's up on the hill with two thieves. Who should we let go? They all yell Barabbas. Who's the other one? Danny Baldwin? Frank Stallone? Rosemary! That's the only time you'll see me kiss another man unless I'm a cuckold. Wait, what? That's your mom.
Oh my God, dude.
That's here's the good news about not being selfless enough to have a kid. You don't have a choice. If you got somebody pregnant and they had a baby, it's not like, oh man, I gotta be. Natasha Leggero had a great line, and I told her, this is one of my favorite lines in the annals of history.
Right.
And then she goes, oh, I don't even remember doing that.
What'd you say?
Having a kid's like getting a DUI from the universe.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, oh, I remember doing it. And it's such a great line. I'm like, you're full of shit. Like, it's your best line.
That's a fucking great.
You do it without gloves on.
That rocked me. You know, when you hear something and it hits you like philosophically in the heart, you're like, ooh.
I've been backing away from the tuning fork with you because I want to do more, a longer one.
I really do.
We've been getting a little, both of us being like oddly a little choked up in these conversations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to tell Rosemary? What other impression does she like? Rosemary, true car. Does she drive your mother? Does she drive Joe DeRosa? Does your mother drive a car or a truck? Joe.
She does. A car. A mini SUV, actually.
Calm down, Joe. It's not millionaire. It's a goddamn question. Is Pacino hosting millionaire? It's a question about cars. No, he made it millionaire with his answer. True car, Joe. You want Rosemary. If she wants a new car to get...
Dude Tracy.
Forrest Whitaker for True Car.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, Dude Forrest
Whitaker. If you go to True Car, you work with... You? You work with True Car certified dealers. There's hundreds of thousands of them. If you, I'm a True Car user myself. It's true. Joe and Adam. No, but True Car... True Car users save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Did you know that? Did you? Huh? Because this is great. True Car, save time, save money, never overpay. Let me do a weird one that I haven't done in a while.
Give her some trick, please. Give her a little trace.
Yeah, True Car. True Car, you know your neighbor paid for that vehicle. You lock in that price. They go, we got that vehicle for $44,000. You go, oh, the pregnant Portuguese girl with discharge got it for $18,500. Joe's special is called...
Oh, my God. So good.
No, man. It's not called Oh, My God.
You Let Me Down.
Huh? You know what I was going to call my Netflix special?
What?
How Do I Not Have a Netflix Special?
That's a great title.
Bo Burnham has six.
He's a funny kid.
He is a... By the way, let's make this point. Yes. I have two total.
Right.
Ever and anywhere.
But that's partly you, because you even say at the beginning of your first one, you go, why did I wait so long to do an hour special?
I would do a Netflix special for free.
No.
Yes, I would.
No, don't say that on record.
I'm saying I don't give a fuck about money. I'm divorced.
Right.
It goes, baby.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want? A sponsor, Ginger? You want money? Take the money. What do you want? What do you want? I got an Egyptian, Italian, and a Jew on a couch waiting to do a podcast.
Can we do one more thing?
Yeah.
Can you do, because we did this with Keitel once. Let's do it with Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci on how to bake a Christmas ham.
What do you want, bake a fucking ham? Is that what he said? The stuttering. Look at Adam. Of course, the Jew's on the couch. He had asked me about making a ham. Look at his roast beef, pot roast, anything. What do I know about making a ham? Put it in the oven, it's done.
That's very hard to do. When I'm doing Periscope, I'll do like Tony Bennett. Like, I'll just walk the dogs, like, I'm walking the dogs. It's a beautiful day. And somebody go, Tony Bennett singing Bad Brains. Months. Can't fucking figure it out.
You did Keitel checking the oil in the car, doing an oil change. And you knocked it out of the fucking park when you did it.
The best Keitel thing I ever did, in my opinion, was on Bill Burr's podcast. He goes, dude, Harvey Keitel is a 1980s comedian.
Okay.
What's with the ladies always going to the bathroom in groups? Of course, you have to imagine me wearing very light jeans and a suit jacket with the goddamn sleeves rolled up. When do you get Ronald Reagan another goddamn jelly bean? Does she wear anything besides red? Is that time of the year? Is she hunting? I'll tell you one thing. If I was on the goddamn space shuttle, you know what I'd bring? I'd bring a second space shuttle. You feed the dog, I'll feed the fish. Jesus Christ.
It's so good. I'm crying, dude. I have tears in my eyes.
Oh, my God. Joe DeRosa. I love you, buddy, and I'm so happy you directed your special. Is not lost on me how the import of that. And so everybody go get it.
You're one of my best friends, buddy. I love seeing you, and thanks for having me.
You are one of my best friends, and you're one of the best people to ever go eat with. Do you guys have octopus? Yeah, but only as an entree. Why don't you just cut it in half and bring it to me as an entree? Because we only sell it as an entree. I understand that, but there's octopus. There's no way you have like a fucking whole octopus. Well, why don't you watch your mouth? Just tell me. I said, fucking, you have octopus in a freezer. Just cut a couple things off of it. It's an entree.
You learned temps with me. You didn't know what temps were.
I almost fucking fist fought you that night.
And then you thank me. You go, oh shit, now I see.
Yeah, to get out of it, because I felt bad about the music.
You know. But we got it. We got the right temp on that prime rib, didn't we?
Prime rib temps were nice.
It was nice and pink.
Don't tell Jeffrey. Barefoot Contessa loves her temps. Joe DeRosa. Twitter is at...
Joe DeRosa Comedy on Twitter and Instagram.
I love you, buddy, very much.
Love you, pal. Thanks for having me.
All you guys listening right now and gals, this is 100 right here. I'm sitting across from 100. That's my word. More stories. Put your name on it. Be a man. Oh, woman, put your name on it.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me, and somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Someone warm like you who could make my dreams come true. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before.
For once, I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
For once, I can say, this is mine, you can't take it.
Long as I know I am love, I can make it.
Once in my life, I have some.
take it, long as I know I have love, I can make it.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
Once in my life, I have someone.
The great Tony Bennett. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big.